We're going to continue our preaching series, The Red Thread Through the Bible. We can follow important themes to understand how the entire Bible is connected. Today is, of course, about something very important, listening to what God says. If God uses people to speak to us, how do we know who to listen to? Today there are many voices, especially on the internet. People who say they have the truth. People who say they speak for God. People who say they can show the way. The question is, who should we listen to? The question is not new. Already in Deuteronomy 18, God's people were asking the same question. And there, God makes a promise. He will raise up a prophet like Moses. You should listen to him. Now we have the joy of welcoming all the children. A question for you. Sometimes to listen. Watto is nodding. Anyone else think it's difficult to listen? Many nods. I agree. Should we do a little test? If I whisper what the sermon is going to be about, so I. They're supposed to pass the message, play the game, telephone, but they're supposed to continue the message. You should listen to him. In any case, today we're going to talk about the prophet Moses. Does anyone know what a prophet is? And Moses especially was the one that led God's people out of Egypt. We're going to talk about a prophet like Moses. Do you know what a prophet is? What's a prophet? Let's see, we'll ask Samuel. Right. One that speaks for God. The prophet talks about God, sure. In the Bible we see prophets did two things. First, they proclaimed. They spoke the words of God. Secondly, with God's help, they could predict what would happen in the future. But God's word was not only important to those who lived then. It's just as important for us. Just as important for us today. In fact, how we listen to God's word is a matter of life and death. Now we're going to read from Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 20. I wonder if you children can help me. When you hear the word speak or said, I wonder if you can stand up and point to your mouth. Shall we try? When you hear the word listen or hear, starting in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Lord, help us to hear what you speak through your word. Amen. Today, we're going to notice five things. In Swedish, they all begin with the letter L, but not necessarily in English. So the first word is promise. In Swedish, it is löfte. A prophet like me, will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your people, from your brothers, you shall listen to him. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives his farewell sermon. A farewell sermon to the people. And there are many question marks among the people. Something I like about children is that you're curious. And here, we as adults have something to learn from. And kids are good at asking questions. Why does God promise to send a prophet like Moses? We get the answer already in verses 16 to 17. Remember that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. To understand the promise, we must remember what happened at Mount Sinai when God gave them the Ten Commandments. And that's what Jonathan read before. The people saw lightning, fire, smoke, and the mountain shook. They were very afraid. They were afraid to come before God because of their sin. All the bad things they had done, thought, and said. So they asked Moses, like Jonathan read, not to hear God's voice, because they were so afraid. Therefore they asked Moses, you speak to us instead. And God said that what the people say is right. So Moses became like a prophet, a mediator, a person between God and the people. Much like Bobby and Andrea today who interpret, so that those they stand between myself, who speak Swedish, and the others who speak Spanish, in order that they would understand the sermon. Today, God has given us preachers who tell and explain so that we can understand the Bible, which is the Word of God. Moses became a middleman, a mediator of God's Word to the people. But what would happen when Moses was no longer around? See, God made a promise. He would raise up a new prophet like Moses. And this brings us to our second point. The order that God sent many prophets during the history of his people. By order, I mean that the prophets came one after another. Much like when you go through the order, in the Bible, for example, we can read about prophets such as Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and many, many more. How then would God speak through his prophets? We can read about it in verse 18. For them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them everything that I command him. So God would inspire the prophets and put the words in their mouths, what they would say. So the prophets put the word of God. In the same way, the Bible teaches us that God has inspired the Bible, the word of God, what his prophets, apostles, their disciples. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that half of the scripture is God-breathed. No, all scripture is God-breathed. It comes from God. And 2 Peter 1:20-21 says that no prophecy of scripture came by one's own interpretation, that it wasn't made up by men, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke as they received from God. And God inspired them when they wrote it down. Nothing less. That is why it was also serious to the prophets. If it were things, then no one needs to listen to him. The same applies to preaching. The preacher's task is to tell and explain what God says and to help God's people apply it. A preacher should do nothing more or less if he makes up his own things or tries to change what God says, then no one needs to listen to him. In verse 19, and if anyone does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name, I myself will require it of him. If the people do not listen to the prophet, God will demand it of him. That is, hold the one who does not listen responsible for not doing what God has said. In the same way, if a preacher preaches what God wants, God will hold the listeners responsible for whether they accept what God has to say through his words. But how would one know if a prophet really spoke from God? How would God's people know if a prophet like Moses had come? In the Bible, we encounter a big problem. Many false prophets. For example, the prophets of Baal, who led the people away from the Lord. Already in the context of our text, God warns his people against listening to divination, interpretation of signs, black magic, and witchcraft. They should not listen to such things, and certainly not to false prophets. So God's people at that time could not yet compare what someone said with God's word. How then do you recognize a true and false prophet? God explains this in verses 20 to 22. A false prophet is someone who says, "Thus says the Lord," even though God has not spoken. Or someone, as in speaking for prophets of Baal, someone who speaks in the name of other gods. Saying that God has said something that he did not say is very serious. It is abusing and lying in God's name, which was punishable by death at that time. Therefore, God says that if a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and what he says does not happen, then the Lord has not spoken. Then the prophet has spoken presumptuously, or in pride. In this way, God's people could test the prophets. When a true prophet spoke, they saw that what he said really came true. When they saw that what was prophesied happened, they could also trust the other things that the prophet said would happen. Therefore, we can also trust the Bible today, because of what the prophets predicted that has come true, both in their time and in history afterwards. We can also know that what has not yet happened will happen. The Bible is true. We have many, many examples of this. But Moses also warns of another kind of false prophet in Deuteronomy 13. False prophets can even perform signs and wonders just like Pharaoh's soothsayers in Egypt. But if they lead people away from God and His Word, then they should not be followed. Therefore, God's people need to test those who claim to speak in God's name. Jesus also says, "Beware of false prophets. By their fruits you will recognize them." This also applies to us today. There are many who say they speak for God. And there are still many false teachers and prophets today. So we need to be careful who we listen to, and especially on the internet. Anybody can post something up and talk. Letters of recommendation were sent to recommend Bible teachers. When it comes to people on the internet, we can ask the question, to whom do you hold that person accountable? Is there a sound leader who recommends the person? If not, be very careful. With the internet, and prophets have gained influence so that they can reach everyone's mobile phones and computers. So let's be careful. We must take to heart Paul's word from 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. I would like to encourage you as a church to pray for us as elders who proclaim and teach the Word of God. Pray that God would keep us humble and dependent on Him in prayer, and that He would help us to faithfully proclaim His Word, the Bible. We have now noticed that God promised a prophet, and throughout history He sent many prophets, but none were exactly like Moses. This brings us to our third point. The longing. How God will send the prophet like Moses. So God sent many prophets throughout the history of His people, but none of them were exactly like Moses. Moses was unique. He was tested in the wilderness. He gave the people bread from heaven and water from the rock. He received God's revelation on the mountain. And he spoke with God face to face as a mediator between God and people. That is why it is written in Deuteronomy 34:10, "There arose no more a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." To other prophets, God made Himself known, as Numbers 12:6-8 speaks of through visions and dreams, but with Moses, God spoke face to face. Moses was unique. That is why the people began to wonder, when will the prophet like Moses come? When will he come and speak the words of God and lead his people to salvation? That question is also asked in the Gospel of John 1, where people ask John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet?" But John answers, "No." If John the Baptist was not the prophet, then who was? This leads us to our fourth point, the solution. The people of Israel were waiting for the prophet who would be like Moses, who would speak the words of God, who would lead his people to salvation. The New Testament gives a clear answer. J-E-S-U-S. What is that? Jesus is the prophet that Moses spoke of. In Acts 3, Peter quotes our text from Deuteronomy and says that it is fulfilled in Jesus. And when we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus is in many ways like Moses. He is the true and better Moses. Like Moses, Jesus was tempted in the desert, but without sin. Just as Moses gave bread to the people, Jesus fed thousands of people through the miracles of bread. But even more, He Himself is the bread of life. We're going to sing that later after the sermon. This is so that whoever comes to Him will never hunger, and whoever believes in Him will never... After Jesus had fed about 5,000 people, it is written in John 6:14, "When the people saw the sign that He had done, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.' Through this sign, Jesus showed that he was the prophet who was to come. But the sign also points further. We read in John 20, verses 30 to 31. Jesus did many other signs. In the Gospel of John, we see many of the signs that point to who Jesus was. But many other the signs pointed to Jesus. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Jesus is therefore more than just a prophet. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came so that through faith in Him we might have eternal life. Just as Moses gave water to the people, Jesus offers something even greater, living water that he saw to the that he said to the Samaritan woman. In John 7, he spoke through the Holy Spirit. If anyone is thirsty, says Jesus, let him come to me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. When the people heard this, some said, this must be. This must be the prophet, the one that Moses spoke about. Others said, this is the Messiah. And we that sit here today, and we have the answers in our hand, we know that Jesus is both the prophet and Messiah, but even more than that. Just as Moses spoke with God face to face, so does Jesus. But even more, he lives in eternal, full, triune communion with the Father and the Spirit, and is the perfect mediator between God and men. Jesus is not just a new Moses. He is greater than Moses. Moses spoke the Word of God, but Jesus, as the Word describes, Jesus is the Word of God made man. Moses led Israel out of Egypt, but Jesus does not stop there. Jesus saves his people from sin and death. Just as Moses received revelation on a mountain, Jesus also went up a mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. There he showed his glory. And Moses and Elijah, as a sign, they point to him. They bore witness to him. They spoke of his passing away. And in the Greek, we get the word Exodus. That is where we get our word for Exodus, as the Exodus from Egypt, when they were taken out of Egypt. And it was also spoken, the greater Exodus, that Jesus would win a greater salvation than Moses ever could. On the Mount of Transfiguration, not only Moses and Elijah testified about Jesus, God the Father himself confirmed him. Luke 9:35. A voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, my chosen one. What did it say? Listen to him. Like in Deuteronomy 18:15. Jesus is therefore the true and better prophet like Moses. And therefore, God himself says something decisive about him. Listen to him. And that leads us to the last point of the sermon. Listen. God says the same thing today as on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to him. Do not just hear his words, but believe in him. Receive him and follow him. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets at many times and in many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So God spoke in many ways through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son. The Word of God, personified, has become flesh to save us. He came to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Through his death for sinners and his resurrection, he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe in him. The people of Moses' time were terrified to come before God. But God himself, God the Son, became man to save us and bring us to him, so that we do not need to fear as Israel was. But becoming recipients of his love, we do not need to fear judgment, but as 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear is associated with punishment. Does not need to be afraid of judgment. But the Bible also gives a serious warning. When Peter and John stood accused before the great council after Jesus healed a lame man, Peter says in Acts 3:22-23, Moses said, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your brothers. Him you shall listen to in all things that he says to you. But whoever does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That prophet is Jesus. If we listen to and accept him, we receive eternal life in communion with God. But whoever does not listen to and rejects Jesus will be eternally lost. So the question is, how do you relate to Jesus? Do you listen to him, or do you reject him? He is the only one who can satisfy our hunger and thirst. He is the bread of life and the source of living water. And for us who believe, it also means a calling to remain in him and in his word. Jesus says that whoever remains in him bears much fruit, but without him, we can do nothing. So let us listen to Jesus, receive him, and remain in him and his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have received your word. Thank you that Jesus is the word personified. Help us all to listen to him, to listen to the Bible, to listen to what you have to say, but not that we should just do it externally, but that we should really receive it, that it's a matter of life and death. It's like what you said, Jesus, that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Help us daily to receive your word so that we may live in relationship with you. Change us and let us grow in fellowship with you, Jesus. We pray that your word would be in the center and be our life. Work through your spirit and make us more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.